Genesis chapter number 39. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Remember, his brothers hated him. His brothers had a real beef against him, and they sought to kill him, which we saw last Sunday morning. And they decided against killing him, but they decided they would sell him into slavery. Now, Joseph finds himself being sold into slavery, being taken down into Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of his guard, bought him, from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Verse 2. I want you to see verse 2 because this is very, very important. The Lord was with Joseph. Say, the Lord was with Joseph. See, it doesn't matter where you are if the Lord is with you, because the Lord just might be using where you are for your good. And as a matter of fact, the Lord may be using where you are for someone else's good. The Lord may have a plan in your life, a destiny in your life. The Lord may be positioning you somewhere that you don't even want to be, but because you are there, you are in a position now to be a blessing to someone else. See, until you change your perspective or your view of your situation, you can never see it that way. You say, how do you know Joseph had that view? Well, I know because wherever Joseph was, he began to prosper. Whatever happened to Joseph from the moment his brothers turned on him till he finds himself in prison and even beyond, whatever Joseph did, God's blessing was on Joseph's life, and Joseph was being blessed at everything that he put his hand to. That tells me that in Joseph's quiet time, he must have spent time with the Father. In his conversations with others, he must have honored the Father. Joseph was one that was not willing to walk away because of a difficulty or a hard thing that came into his life. But when it got difficult, Joseph drew closer. And because he drew closer, God was with him. God was with him. Just as he was with Paul and Silas at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas didn't feel the Lord when they were being beaten. They didn't feel the Lord when they were being drug off into prison. They didn't feel the Lord when they were shackled down in the prison cell. But when they begin to lift their voice and when they begin to cry out to God in the midnight hour, maybe they knew what a beautiful name before we ever knew it. When they began to sing, maybe they sang, "Open up the heavens." Maybe they began to sing, "Let it rain." Maybe they just began to sing nothing more than, "You are worthy. There is none besides thee." Maybe they began to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." We don't know what they sang. But what we do know is when they began to open their mouths and they began to sing out to the Lord, the Bible says he does what to the praises of his people? He inhabits them. And when they began to praise, the prison cell began to shake. That was the original jailhouse rock right there. Right there in the New Testament. The jail began to rock right there. And Elvis wasn't even in the building. They opened up their voices and they began to express out of an inner longing, an inner passion, an inner love for God in spite of. Did you hear that? In spite of. Because we know in this life we're going to have troubles. We know in this life we're going to have difficulties. We know in this life things aren't always going to be rosy and things aren't always just going to be the way we want them to be. But in this life, if we will keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we will draw closer to him, he will be with us because his word is promised. He will never leave us. He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. That's a promise that we have from him. He didn't say, you're not going to have any difficulties, or you're not going to go. He said exactly the opposite. Look at what the word says in Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 4. My son, forget not my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart so that you will find favor. Say favor. Favor and good success. Say good success. In the sight of God and man. What we saw this past week in the lives of those who testified this morning was favor and success in the sight of God and in the sight of man. God pours out his favor. We're seeing this lived out in the life of Joseph right here in this story, that he found favor with God. And the Bible says when we find favor with God, we will find favor with men. I've had a lot of jobs outside of the church. Most of you here today, most all of you work outside. Well, you help in the church, but you, for vocation, you work outside of the church. It's not a common thing these days for an employer to say, oh, go ahead and take those 2 weeks and we'll give you another 2 weeks. That's not the norm. That's not the most common of things. Thank God for those out there who do that and will do that. God bless them. And I pray God would just pour blessing into them because of that. But how many of you could be pretty confident today, and you don't have to raise your hand, that wouldn't happen? Favor with God. See, here's the thing. Scripture gives us patterns, right? We see favor with God, Ethan, results in favor with man. Say, favor with God results in favor with man. Did you catch that? Favor with God results in favor with man. We try to find favor with man. That's not where we need to find favor. Our favor is with God. And when we find God's favor, then God will speak to the heart of man. And then we will find divine. I'm now getting warm. Now we'll find divine favor with man. Not just favor, but we find divine favor. We find kingdom favor. And let me tell you what divine and kingdom favor. It's when something goes beyond the natural of something someone would want or desire to do. Joseph is sold into slavery. He is a slave. He goes into the home of a man named Potiphar. And everything Joseph touches, boom, miraculously excels, succeeds, is blessed, it multiplies. And Potiphar begins to see that in Joseph's life. And Potiphar begins to trust this man because he's not just a man of words, but he's a man of deeds. In other words, he's someone that when he speaks, his words line up with his actions. If he says he's one way, he acts that way. Unlike most that we know in our world today, who put on their hallelujah face. You know, the glory of God face. The hey, brother, good to see you, man. Whoo, God's good face. And then we got the you make me sick face. You drive me nuts. I regret the day I ever met you face. I guess you call that two-faced. I didn't think about that till just now. That just popped in my mind. How many of you today would agree that you've been? I know that just rubbed you wrong. Anybody call? Don't call me two-faced. Have you ever been two-faced? Have you ever been the church You know, you can tell. Because, you know, you see a mom or a dad raising their hand in church, you just see the look on the kid's face. And then all of a sudden, maybe the kid's like, praise God, man, I hope they did get born again. Because they weren't that way on the way to church. They weren't that way at home all week, you know. But now they're all like, Jesus, you know. And the kid's going, what in the world is going on? And then what happens is we raise kids that go, Jesus. And then they go and live like the devil all week long. Come back in church, Jesus. Because they've learned. They've learned. But Joseph was not that way. Joseph was one who, when he spoke something, his life lived it out. He followed through. He was one who did what he said, and God blessed him. And he drew close to God. There was no separation. There was no, like, we go to church and be a Christian. No, they were Christians wherever. He followed God. He was a follower of God. He was yet to be called Christian because that term wasn't even invented by this point. But he followed God. He loved God. He reverenced God. And because of that, God's blessing was in his life. So this man, Pharaoh or Potiphar, he starts showing favor to Joseph. Now, Joseph could have went into slavery with an attitude. Remember, we talked a little bit about attitude last week? He could have went into slavery with attitude. I didn't ask to be here. I didn't do anything to be here. And I am mad at you for being here. And I'm mad at everyone else, too. And I'm going to let them all know. You ever meet somebody who's just mad at the world? You know. You know who they are. You don't even have to be around them 3 minutes and you know they're mad at the world. Huh? There's choices. There's decisions to make. Yeah, Joseph was handed a raw deal here. This was a really bum deal. This was a bad situation. His brothers turned on him. They lied to their father. The father thought he was dead. He sold off into slavery, which in most cases, he would have probably been abused and not treated well. But Joseph, he said, God, I'm going to honor you. 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 And because he honored God with everything, God's blessing was on. And God was with Joseph in slavery. Right in the middle of him being a slave, God was right there with him to take care of him. And when his master saw, see, God can't be with you and somebody not see it. When his master saw that the Lord was in him, with him, and gave him success in everything he did, he gave him more to do. The key to success is not this. Listen, you may want to write this down. The key to your success is not your good looks. That'll only care. I know that was a shock to some of you. Honestly, when I found that out, I was shocked. No, I'm just kidding. It is not our good looks that will cause your success. It may take you to a certain place. I mean, your looks may get you to a certain place, but, you know, you get in there and you're all pretty and they find you're as dumb as an ice cube, but, you know, something's going to happen real quick. You know? Now, I'm not saying if you're pretty, you're dumb as an ice cube. I'm just being silly. But your good looks aren't going to, and not even your skill. You can be skilled and it ain't going to get you. It ain't going to get you to the level of success that God has for you. Your wealth or luck is not going to get you to where you need to be. But it is the presence of God. God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. I wonder today how God can be with some people the way... He's holy. He's righteous. He is holy and he is righteous. Do you think God be in some of that? Some of that it ain't holy? Some of that it ain't righteous? He is holy and he is righteous. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in the story that we see here in chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, We see Joseph sold into slavery. Potiphar gets him. He's being blessed now. And a little bit down through the story, you'll see there, and I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time today, that Joseph caught someone's eye. Boy, did you ever just think you went from bad to worse and then it started getting better and bam, you got slapped again? Were you ever in a mess and you thought, man, this thing ain't ever going to end, and then it ended and you were like, woohoo, I'm doing good, and bam! It's like you just stepped on a rake and that handle just slapped up and hit you right in the forehead. I don't know about you, but I've been hitting the head with a rake more than once in my life. You know what I'm saying? You just think, woo, it has passed. Boom. And you get nailed again. Joseph goes through all of this mess, sold into slavery. God starts blessing him. He's in charge now of everything in Potiphar's house. He takes care. Matter of fact, I want to tell you something. You look at the story. The only thing Potiphar worried about was what he was going to eat, the food he was going to put in his mouth. Joseph took care of everything else. How many people do you have in your life that you would trust with everything you? You wouldn't even trust them with the food you're eating. There's some people you wouldn't even, that maybe they're just bad cooks, you know? Would you trust somebody you bought out of slavery? Somebody you didn't even know, somebody came from a foreign land, somebody worshiped a God you didn't even know nothing about. Would you trust that person? Well, he saw his life. He knew there was value to that life. He knew behind the scene there was something going on in Potiphar, because Potiphar saw something in Joseph. Potiphar may have even heard him in the chamber of his room. He may have heard these sounds coming out of Joseph's rooms, worshiping God. And then he sees how everything that he touches. Well, Potiphar's wife got the hots for Joseph. She took a fancy to Joseph. She'd watch him around. She'd watch him around the house. She'd watch him out doing the chores. Whew. Things weren't as good when Potiphar was in control of them, but now Joseph. Joseph starts becoming attractive to Potiphar's wife, because everything Joseph does seems good. Everything that happens for Joseph is good. He's got favor. He's handsome. He's younger. This is like the perfect storm. So she decides she's going to throw herself at Joseph. And when she does, because Joseph is honorable before God, and because Joseph understands his relationship with God, and Joseph understands that if I partake of this, I'm going to be unpleasing in God's sight. See, Joseph was not willing to bargain or barter the blessing of God. Two B's in a row, that was quick. Bargain or barter the blessing of God in his life to do something that was pleasurable for a time. See, it may be pleasurable for a season. How many of you have ever had a season of pleasure? You ain't admitting to nothing. Y'all like, I ain't. I know, no. She was probably a very attractive woman. She comes after Joseph. Joseph said, Not going to be a part of that. Well, he scorned her. She was upset over that. She takes off out of the room and leaves her cloak. She goes to her husband and says, "Do you know what your slave did? He tried to have his way with me." If you study the story well enough and you research history, you find out, really, Potiphar really didn't believe her. He really didn't. But he was stuck between a rock and a hard place himself. And so now he's got to throw Joseph back in prison. He didn't really want to do it. So Joseph goes from being in the favor of his parents to the misfavor of his siblings, thrown into the well, sold into slavery, prospering, becoming in charge of the entire house, favor, abundance. He was living like royalty. He was experiencing the goodness of that home. Now being accused. Anybody here ever been accused? Ever been accused of something you didn't do? Joseph didn't do anything. He didn't do anything other than he found himself being accused of someone who meant harm toward him. All because of ego and pride. Because when he shut her down, her ego was hurt. Her pride was hurt. And because her ego and her pride were hurt, she was going to hurt. Has your ego and pride ever been hurt? Has anyone ever wounded your ego or pride and so you were going to get them back? Because they wounded you? They wounded your ego or your pride? Remember I said to you the other week, not every slap deserves a response. When Joseph turned her down, she would have done well to take her cloak and got away from there. She'd have been smart to say, uh-oh, you know what? Whew, boy, hope this doesn't get out. How many of you have ever had a I hope this don't get out moment in your life? Well, I hope nobody finds this out. She goes and she tells, the next thing you know, here goes Joseph, who God was with, who found favor in God. He ends up in prison, and the Bible tells us that even when he goes back to prison, that God is with him. God is with him. He starts interpreting dreams in jail. God is with him. Why was God with Joseph? Why didn't God leave Joseph? Why wasn't Joseph all just abandoned on his own? Because Joseph kept his integrity before God. In spite of what the situation or the circumstance was in his life, Joseph stayed in the presence of God. Joseph continued to be godly even in the midst of his hardship. And that's the lesson for you and I to learn. That in the middle of wherever we are in life, we've got to be honoring God. We should be honoring God. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should be honoring God. And if we honor God in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your battle, in the midst of your heartache, in the midst of your pain, God will be there with you. Do you believe that this morning? God will be there with you. And whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is you find yourself in, the presence of God will strengthen you and will encourage you and lift you up. Psalm 90 verse 17 says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the works of our hands. Do you ask God to establish the works of your hands so that when unrighteousness comes, that your hands will not go to unrighteousness, that your thoughts will not go to unrighteousness, but your thoughts and your hands will be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Psalm 5:12 says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. It is the Lord that blesses the righteous and cover him with favor as with a shield. Cover him with favor. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord our God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. And no good thing does he withhold. Do you see that? No good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly before God. Come on, worship team. I'm going to invite you back to the platform. If you will walk uprightly before the Lord, there is no good thing that God will hold from you. It doesn't matter what the trap is, because Joseph found himself in the trap of Potiphar's wife. He found himself in the trap of his brothers. But in spite of that, God was with him. God honored him. God blessed him. God provided for him. God saw to it that he was taken care of. Over and over and over again through Joseph's life, we see God making provision for him. Favor. Because he had favor with God, he found favor with man. Looking unto Jesus, we said earlier today, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you will turn your gaze, if you'll turn your eyes, if you'll turn your heart toward Jesus, the author and the finisher. Not half-heartedly, not lukewarm, not part in, not hokey-pokey Christian, where you put some in and take it back out. No, but you become a follower of Jesus Christ. You are a committed follower of Jesus Christ. To those whose walk is blameless, he said, he will withhold no good thing. To those whose walk is blameless. I don't know about you, but I like that. And I like the fact that we can see it in stories of individuals who have gone before us. They've paved the way. They've laid it out there for us, and their stories have been written down that we might learn and be able to grow and have patience in the midst of our time. And ask God, as you did it for Joseph, Lord, will you do it for me? Some of you might feel like you're in a pit right now. You might feel like you're in a pit right now, a pit in your life. God was with Joseph. He'll be with you too. Will you honor God? Will you honor God with your life? Will you honor him with your words? Will you draw near to him? Because if you draw near to him, he has promised he will draw near to you. He will feel that longing of your heart. He will feel that desire of your heart. No good thing will he withhold. How many of you like that? No good thing will he withhold. I like that. But then, Sierra, it gets where we think it's difficult, but those whose walk is, I want you to consider your walk. How have you walked this past week? How have you been walking? Those whose walk is blameless. You say that's unobtainable. I say it's not. Because here's the deal. Rhonda, God wouldn't ask you or I to do anything that we're not able or capable of doing with his help. To say we're not able to walk blameless is to say God is not able. And with God, all things are possible. I'm going to pray today that God will strengthen you in your walk with him and that you will take seriously your walk with him. And I'm going to pray the favor of God be in your life. And not only will you find favor with God, but that you will find favor with men. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray as we navigate through the difficulties of this life that we find ourselves in, the twists and turns and the bumps in the road, and sometimes, Lord, it seems like people are on a roller coaster, just bends and twists and ups and downs. You really don't want it to be that way in our life. Because right in the midst of the bad places, we can be level. Because our feet are planted on the solid rock. Our trust and our hope and our confidence have been placed in you. They have not been misplaced. It's when we live life as if we're on a roller coaster that our confidence and our trust has somehow been misplaced, and we've lost our confidence or our trust that you're going to see us through or you're going to bless us in the midst of whatever we're in. Because we look with our natural eyes and we say things like, how could God bless this? How could God do anything with this? Well, Lord, over and over and over again through your word, we've seen what you've done with things. We've seen what you've done with people's lives. And those who are willing and faithful to give you what they had, you did amazing things with their life. And I pray today that we would be that way, that we would give you what we have. And I pray today that at this very moment we would offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, acceptable to yourself. That we would just offer ourselves to you and say, God, we need you. God, we need your strength. We need your help. And God, I pray that as our hearts would begin to turn from being stony or hard, bitter, Lord, that you would turn our hearts to become pliable that you can work with, hearts of love, full of passion. God, create a passion in us today. Create a love in us today. Not only a love for one another, Lord, but a love for you. Because we can't love each other if we don't love you. Because our love for you then radiates into the love for one another. So I pray, God, as our love for you intenses, that our love for one another will grow. So, Father, help us today. Strengthen us under the weight of our mountain, under the weight of our storm. And help us to see that the storm and the mountain are not there to destroy us, but to perfect us. Change our perspective today. Help us as we turn our gaze to you. We got to stop looking out of the battle and looking at the battle from the eyes of victory. Because when we look through the battle, we see the difficulty of the battle. But you have raised us up. So help us to look at the battle the way you see the battle today. That we would know that we're victorious through the blood of the Lamb. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Strengthen every heart, every soul, every life, every home, every family that's in this place today. And I pray that perspectives today would change. Whether someone hates us, whether we feel like we're in a pit, whether we feel like we're in an unchangeable situation, we feel like this thing will never turn, this thing will never change. God, you are a way maker. You're a chain breaker and a way maker, and there's absolutely nothing you cannot do. So God, I pray today in the lives of these that are here today and those who will listen to this message over the internet, Father, that hope will come today. You're a good, good Father, and we bless you today. We worship you. I thank you today for strengthening your people. I thank you for strengthening the heart of your people. Lord, even as those last week who at the close of this service were wondering how are we going to come up with the money, they did not know that you already provided for them. But they stepped out in faith anyway. And your provision was already at the door. You are amazing. You are amazing. And I thank you, Father, for those who have lost hope that they will realize today their provision is on the way. You're going to meet the need. Strengthen. Encourage. Pour out your blessing, Father, as they draw closer to you. Prepare the hearts of men to show favor on those who have found favor in you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, will you stand with us?